All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. May 29th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Thursday, wrapping up another week. It's actually been raining. Our weather's been iffy at best. I guess I haven't done the podcast since the holiday. Had the holiday. We had Memorial Day weekend. Hope everyone had a great, safe weekend. Didn't drink, hopefully. I did not. I know I talked about in the podcast before how our town changes. The amount of people that come to this town is incredible and the transformation that takes place. But I can tell you this year didn't really happen. I don't know if it was the weather, the forecast, I should say, probably. It was definitely chilly and windy. Friday and Saturday were chilly and windy. Sunday was a little bit better. Went out paddling. But yeah, didn't feel like there was a lot of people in town. And I'm not sure what that was about. I could have also just taken the position where I just stayed at my house the whole weekend and didn't really see a lot of people. A few people told me that they had seen some busier sides of the area. But as far as I was concerned, I didn't really feel like there was that many people here, and it wasn't too bad. I hope that's, yeah, I don't know what that is, but maybe no one has any money. I don't know, but still a great weekend. Beautiful, had great weather. It was fun. The neighborhood we live in is very quiet, and a lot of the people that live here really actually have second homes here, really. So this weekend, or the past weekend, we had a ton of people here. The neighbors were here. Cars were in the streets. It was crazy, really. It was cool. So, but we made it through it. It is Thursday. I got to do something pretty cool yesterday. I have talked about, obviously, the paddling, the ocean paddling that I love to do. Love-hate relationship. Love it, but man, it's a beating sometimes. And I've shared about my older son trying to get him in the boat. He did come up to Pottstown, Pennsylvania, and do a paddle class with us in the winter, and I was always kind of looking forward to getting him in the boat. One, just because, you know, we always need, you know, fresh blood, right? My son is 19, works out, runs, goes to the gym, takes care of himself. I'm down on the couch watching TV, and I can hear him upstairs doing push-ups. So, you know, he's in that 19-year-old mode. And so, you know, part of me is like, let's get this this engine in the damn boat. And there's also a part of me that would just like to paddle with my kid, right? And I sort of ask him, and he says he'll do it and stuff, but I don't know if he loves the idea. I think he wants to make me happy, and I appreciate that. And so yesterday was going to be the day. We were supposed to paddle on Wednesday, and we got a text from my coach saying, because I had signed him up to paddle in an upcoming event, but it's about 15-mile paddle, and I just think that might be too much for a start. I personally have never paddled 15 miles, so I don't know what to really expect, but I didn't want him to do it and be like, I hate this. So I was able to get him in for the boat for yesterday, and so we had reached out to the coach, and he texted me. He's like, I don't think we're going to paddle. It's the weather is supposed to rain. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I was like, okay. So I told my son, I think you're off the hook, man, because we are the weather is going to be really bad. And he's like, okay. And then I get a text from my coach again. He's like, we're going to have to paddle. And I'm like, oh, my God, why? He's like, we have to move the boat. You know, one of the challenges for our club is stashing these boats places. You know, it's a 44-foot long canoe. And you just can't find a lot of places to put these things. And so we had sort of been playing with this gray area, not cheating, but, you know, the gray area on stashing the boat between the state park and some townhouses on the beach, and the state park caught on to us, and they're like, move that boat or we're taking it, you know, we're getting rid of it. And so my coach is like, we got to paddle in the rain. And so I told my son, and yesterday we paddled in the rain. And not only was it in the rain and in the cold, but it was at 7, we had to meet at 7 in the morning, and off we went, man, and it was freaking awesome. It was, the conditions were horrible. We paddled half of it. It was only about 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles, because the only goal was to get the boat down to another part of the beach. And so it was only about 3 or 4 miles, but the conditions were like southeast wind blowing up the coast, heavy rain. It was crazy. And half the paddle, we had to paddle on the left because we were afraid it was going to flip over. It was just, it was awesome, man. And, you know, finally we pulled up on the beach, waves crashing and we're bailing. And I don't know, man, it was just, you know, I've shared endless times, man, you know, recovery in this program, just continue to just make my life 10 times better than I ever thought it could be.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shottown, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, an insure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzard. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to wizard. How do you console my mom? Or give her light support? Telling her son's own life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the plane, scared as hell that a guy looked like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal, she been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying, I've been trying to be signed. Trying to be a millionaire, how I used 2 lifelines. In the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man. I really apologize to everyone right now if it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. But I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, dog.
Yeah. Turn me up, yeah. What if somebody from the shadow was ill? Got a deal on the hottest rap label around. But he wasn't talking about coke and birds. It was more like spoken word. Except he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in the game. Good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank.
All right, Kanye, sweet song, Through the Wire, great song, dig it. But yeah, so that's, you know, some great stuff going on, a lot of blessings. It was really cool to kind of take on that challenge yesterday with my kid. I don't know what it is, as I get older, I just read somebody posted something, as we get older, all we care about is happiness and health of our kids and that our siblings stick together. And my dad's been the same way. As he's gone through this journey, he at the end he's like, "You make sure you talk to your brother." And I said, "I will." So, but yeah. So I just thought I'd come up. I hadn't done a podcast in a while. Just got done running, feeling good, doing some paddling. I haven't checked my weight, but you know, I feel good. I know I'm doing the work, and so I know the results will show up. It's when I don't do the work. But yeah, I thought I would come up here. You know, I had an interesting week last week. You know, I shared, you know, the drama I went through with my buddy Jim and how that unfortunately ended up happening. And then luckily, you know, through God and these steps and, you know, prayer, just, you know, finally making the right choice and making an amends and cleaning that up. And really, you know, brain crease, because I really do not want to do that again. Those are one of those things that just, you know, it was unnecessary. And, yeah, I don't know why it happened. It happened, but we're going to avoid that again. We don't want situations like that to happen again. But, right, back to Wednesday. Went to my meeting last night, and now we have another situation like this. Luckily, I haven't done anything or said anything that's going to be a problem. But, man, it was sort of disturbing. I had, you know, we do a home, you know, it is my home group, and we do a home group meeting every second Wednesday of the month. And a guy that I sponsor told me that there was going to be a special emergency home group meeting this week because of a situation that had occurred. And I'm like, oh, my God, right? This is, you know, freaking drama. And so I sort of had forgotten about it, but when I went to the meeting last night, it was announced that we were having a home group meeting after the meeting. We had a situation to discuss, and I was like, oh, brother. And, you know, the one thing that my sponsee was telling me is that, you know, he'd been talking to this girl, right? And they'd been she'd been telling him about this situation. And I'm like, dude, get out of it. Get your nose out of that situation. You have no advice. We don't help women. We don't counsel. We don't give suggestions to women. Our only suggestion to a woman is find a good woman to work with. We don't help, you know, I mean, and I don't say that in any sort of way. We don't get involved with the females in the program, at least not at this point, right? And I would probably say never, but, you know, shit happens. So, but anyway, I go to the meeting last night, and then they had this special meeting after the meeting, and I stay for it, of course, because I am a home group member. And this girl in our home group shares that she brought a female friend with her last week, and that after, or when they showed up to the meeting, when they walked in, she felt like when they walked in that all the men were staring and saying things that were inappropriate. And she just thought that she was disappointed in this home group, and that basically, like, she doesn't feel safe bringing the females to this home group. And wow, I was like, what? You know, I am, I'm just going to share as just a human. I don't know, you know, I was very offended by this because, first of all, you know, I didn't do that, right? I saw the person bring the person, and I saw the person, and I said nothing. I said, you know, I've been doing this long enough. That's the one thing, that's a simple way to make a bad day is to be like that. And I understand, right? I was young. I'm getting old. That's part of my issue now is I'm old. But, you know, as a young person, you know, hey, who knows? But to bring the whole home group in to the meeting and basically scold us, I was like, that is, I was annoyed. And I don't know if I should be. I think personally, if there was an issue that if somebody made somebody feel uncomfortable, they should just tell that person to their face, hey, you shouldn't say that. That makes me feel uncomfortable. But to bring the whole home group in, like we all represent this, or that person represents this whole home group, I was offended. And I don't mean like, you know, left, you know, but I mean, it's like, what the fuck? I didn't say anything. I would never say anything. And I know the people that I sponsored didn't say anything. It was probably, you know, a couple guys. And, you know, it was funny. The cool thing about last night's meeting before this happened was that another lady friend of mine shared, and she shared an amazing story about getting pregnant at 15. And this is in 1966. And she got pregnant at 15. And back in those days, it was really a big no-no to get pregnant. You could not go to school pregnant. And you basically had to kind of either stay home or go to a home and spend your time while being pregnant there and then have the baby. And then, you know, you could make the choice of keeping the baby, but I think a lot of people made the choice of giving the baby up for adoption. And it was crazy because that is what happened to me. You know, this is a client, or not a client, this was a friend, you know, sharing the meeting last night about her story about being pregnant and giving up a baby. And I have the story of being the baby, right? I was adopted in 1968. My birth mother had gotten pregnant at 15. And they sent her to a home of redeeming love, right? And back then, man, it was different. You know, if that happened, you ended up in a home of redeeming love and you lived there for 9 months or however long, you know, you had left in your pregnancy, you had the baby, and then you put the baby up for adoption and you went on your way. And, but back in those days, it was also considered a closed adoption, meaning there was no information. When I reached an age of whatever age it was that I thought that I would, you know, and I shared in the meeting last night because I was very touched by the story. And, you know, as a young person, especially early on, struggling with early addiction and, you know, whatever it was I was going through, you know, I love to blame a lot of my problems on being adopted. And so it was just really interesting to hear her story because, as a, you know, I've shared, you know, I tried to, you know, I was born in Oklahoma City. I reached out to the adoption agency. And like I said, it was a closed adoption, so there was no information. There was no reaching out. And but I, you know, I tried anyway. I'm like, you know, things are different. We've changed a bit. Society's changed. The scorn, right, is lifted a little bit. And and I did talk to the lady, and she said, listen, we reached out to your birth mother, and she said to tell you to never, ever, ever, ever reach out to her again. And I was like, not a victim. Right, not a victim of that. I was definitely sober and in recovery when this all sort of happened. And I was like, and the lady said, you got to understand, she probably had you when she was 15, and she probably never mentioned the fact that she had had a baby with whoever she would end up marrying if she did. And for me to come back into her life could really unravel a lot of things. All guesses, no facts. I don't know if any of that's true, but that was what the adoption agent said could be the situation. So for me to, you know, just not worry about it, it is what it is. And I agree. It is what it is. And I'm not going to worry about it. But it was great to hear her story. And the cool thing is this lady's, you know, I've known her for a long time. She's relatively young. I mean, she's probably in her late 60s, mid 60s, but she looks great. I'm like, you know, I picture my birth mother as like 150 years old. This, you know, this old lady, and it's, she could absolutely be not that old. And so it was cool, but the topic was expectations. And I just thought it was very ironic that after the meeting, we have this whole other meeting about, you know, this person with these expectations, right? And you know, I'm like, I didn't even say anything. I'm really trying to keep my mouth shut, but I was offended. I mean, and I just don't mean like, oh, but I mean, it's like, are you serious right now? You know, I do think it should be a safe place, but I think that should be handled through individuals or your sponsor. But to bring the whole meeting in and scold the whole meeting for someone's behavior. And the reality is that, you know, like every meeting, you know, we could have, you know, a bunch of men coming in from recovery houses, halfway houses, the streets. Who the fuck knows where people come from, right? I mean, and like I've said 100,000 times, you know, it's real good to be good for that hour, right? But it just on the shoulders of that hour, some people struggle. And listen, I know what it's like coming into a program, have spent in a life where I haven't really been able to find a decent person in my life. And the biggest reason is because of how I drank and the drugs that I did. That seemed to be the wall that stood between me and happiness. And to take it down, yeah, some people are eager to try to find somebody. And believe me, I know several people that are married to people they met in the program. So, you know, it's all stepped down from our freaking high horse. But at the same time, this should be a safe place. But I was just like, you know, what the fuck? And now I'm... I guess the point is, and, you know, it's sort of been the theme for a while, but, you know, these wolves start showing up and start trying to separate me. Well, how long, you know, is it okay to fucking go to find another home group, right? Is it okay to change up my schedule? Is it okay to do it because I'm annoyed? Can I find peace enough and still leave? You know, this... I don't like being a home group member. In fact, I wouldn't have even done it if it wasn't for, you know, trying to celebrate. I want to, you know, make sure I can celebrate and stuff. It's not required, though. I think when I joined this home group, it was when we were coming back from the pandemic, and I was ready to get involved and take on some commitments, and I'm still ready to do that, but it doesn't have to actually be at this meeting. And I won't say what happened between me and my buddy Jim, because that didn't even, that was, that had nothing to do with the meeting. That was just me being a shithead. But I'm just getting tired of the bureaucracy, the politics that get into these meetings. And then the worst part is, you know, of course I sponsor two guys, and I'm immediately like, this, you guys should make this your home group. And so they're members there, and they both got commitments. You know, one guy does the literature, one guy does the coin. So I don't know, but I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed, and I feel like it's this, you know, feelings. And, you know, I understand we have feelings, but, you know, the other thing is that this person that scolded the group last night wasn't even the person that was offended. It was the person that she had brought. And during the time that she's telling about this situation, she says that she does believe that the person that she had brought that is making these accusations is using that as an excuse not to go to meetings. Yeah, you think? I think that's exactly what it is. And we're caught in the crosshairs because I think someone said they'd take her to the hot tub, or they'd cook dinner for her, or they'd take care of her, or something like that. I mean, it's not cool, but you are at an AA meeting. You know, my dad, I shared a couple, I don't know, last week or whatever, about this guy that was at the recovery house and my brother had lent money to, and my dad was upset. He's like, you know, I don't want him stealing your brother's money. And I'm like, Dad, you got to remember, man, you know, my brother lives in a house full of, you know, liars, cheats, thieves, hoodlums. You know, that's what we are. You know, we're not in recovery because it's just fun. You know, we've all gotten to a point, unfortunately, and I definitely can only speak for myself, but I got to a point in my life where my life became unbearable. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it wasn't sick and tired of, you know, doing good things. It was sick and tired of living a shitty life. And saying things like, you know, hey, I'll take you to the hot tub, or hey, I'd cook dinner for you, or whatever it is. When I came into the program, I definitely remember, you know, seeing women in the meetings. But I was like, I didn't want to be creepy. Right, because to me, that is when a person can't refrain from saying something like that to a, whether it's a male or a female, and it's usually a male to female. For some reason, society's fine with women saying inappropriate shit to men. I guess men are fine with it too, but for a man to say something inappropriate to a woman is, you know, everybody loses their shit. But it's just, it's, you know, I don't know what these, I guess the expectation is that, you know, we're all a bunch of angels, and that ain't the case, you know. And some of these guys come in, and especially the ones from these halfway houses, they're barely, you know, got 30 days. You know, they're hanging on by their nails. And so that shit happens. When I came into the program back in 97, you know, I was probably been told, sit down and shut up. Because I feel, right, like that this person is sort of manipulating the group with this. I would, if somebody had said something to me, I would, my first suggestion would not have been bring in the home group and let me scold you all. That wouldn't have been it. If something that's, you know, if something had happened between me and somebody else, I would have reached out to that person. And said, this is, you know, I think that was inappropriate. Or I would have reached out to that person's sponsor, or I would have reached out to somebody that knows that person, but I wouldn't have taken on the whole group because the group didn't do it. Right? We have to remember who we are. We're just a bunch of drunks trying to get sober. You know, let's not fool ourselves here. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, if your freaking friend don't like it, don't come back. Go drink. There are options. You know, we should be able to come to a place and be safe, but goddamn, if it's too much, right? Because you know we weren't being talked to like that when we were out on the streets. The more I start peeling it back and thinking about it, it makes me realize that this person is just using that or trying to use that or maybe even created that as an excuse not to go back. And you started seeing that a lot now. You know, people start saying these trigger words like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. It's like, well, then don't come back. Go drink. Don't decide. You know, I don't like when people, especially newcomers, start telling me or deciding or you know, figuring out the rules. It's like, if you want to get sober, come to a meeting, sit down, and shut up. You know, there's a lot of women there, a lot of women at those meetings. And I haven't heard anybody complain about these cat calls and stuff like that. I've never even heard anybody. I think and everybody in our home group is absolutely very respectful and says everything pretty much appropriately. I don't see any issues. I've never seen issues. If I had, there is one guy, my one buddy, John, he thinks he's funny, and he is sometimes funny, but sometimes he's inappropriate. And even last night, he was in the home group, and he's like, you know, this gets brought up, and she was felt uncomfortable, and then my buddy John's like, I was wondering who that blonde was, and everybody's like, John, oh my God, he always says something, but he's just, you know, I think he's just trying to be funny, but he just... Maybe it was him. I don't even know. But for the most part, I never heard anybody whistle or give catcalls or say anything that wasn't appropriate. So it may be, it could have all been made up. But I guess my question to myself is, when, if I do decide to go find a new home group, is it appropriate or should I just suffer it out? You know, are these the wolves separating me? You know, I am a little bored with this meeting. I don't know. It's interesting. That's what's going on. I'm, you know, it seems like this Wednesday night meeting, it's all the stuff I need just for this podcast. Last Wednesday it was Jim. This Wednesday it's this situation. What will be next week, I don't know. But, you know, the good part about it is when, you know, like my sponsor told me this was coming up, the one thing I thought of when I heard about this, that this was going to be this was going to happen, is I was like, well, I know I didn't say anything, right? Because I've learned that in this program. You know, I don't say things like that. I do keep my mouth shut. I am respectful. You know, I do see the bigger picture. You know, early recovery, you're like, hey, man, maybe this is my future wife. Well, today it's like, hey, this could also, you know, just saying something could keep somebody away. And the goal is to try to be there for the next alcoholic and try to help them. And, you know, so when this all came up, I'm like, well, I know I said nothing. You know, I stay, whenever I see a female come into the rooms, I stay way far away. I go to the opposite side of the room. It's a bunch of fists, you know, knuckles, no hugging. I want nothing. I don't want to be part of it. And that's the way we should all be. But, you know, some people are, you know, working on it. All right, let's see. I'm going to read the Daily Reflections. I got to work today. This is not a great week. Next week is not a great week. So I might be on here boohooing about money, but it's fine. It'll all work out. Let's see. Daily Reflections. Yeah, the couple weeks after Memorial Day are always a little weird. So, but I'll show up. All right, True Tolerance, May 29th. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 139. I first heard the short form of the third tradition in the preamble. When I came to AA, I cannot accept myself, my alcoholism, or a higher power. If there had been a physical, mental, or moral or religious requirements for membership, I would be dead today. Bill W. said in his tape on the traditions that the third tradition is a charter for individual freedom. The most impressive thing to me was the feeling of acceptance from members who were practicing the third tradition by tolerating and accepting me. I feel acceptance is love, and love is God's will for us. That's right. Yeah. The only requirement for a membership is a desire to stop drinking. That's right. Thank God, right? Because if it was like, and you can't do this and you can't do that, a few of us wouldn't make it, right? Yeah, so anyway, we'll keep you posted. I don't know. I'm The other thing is my son's back from college, so his bedroom is next door to my studio, and I always feel a little strange sitting here talking into a microphone, but whatever. I got to get through it. Thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye.
God, I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 2-1 or 2. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. Safe, my dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. Thank God I was burned up like Pepsi did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up, I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, spit my soul through the wire. You know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me I had a, I was gonna have to have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, don't you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. She can't be serious, man.